think about the folks back home, about the 12-mile road that I used to roam. Sometimes I think about sweet Willie Jean. Did she ever get as far as New Orleans? We used to watch the riverboats from a grassy bank, drink hot water from a railway filling tank. And sometimes I think about sweet Willie Jean. Did she ever get as far as New Orleans? My mama used to tell me, son, you're gonna come to harm. Now here I am on this low-down county farm. And sometimes I think about sweet little Willie Jean. Did she ever get as far as sometimes I think about the folks back home, about that 12-mile road that I used to roam. Lord, sometimes I think about sweet Willie Jean.
Did she ever get as far as New Orleans? And who was that? Yeah. Eddie Brown singing about sweet Willie Jean. I like that. Controversy, crime plunges across L.A. County. It says down significantly around L.A. County as a result of the stay homes. Wait a minute, I'm getting a call from a friend of mine. And I'll say, hey, Johnny, how you doing?
I'm just laying up here waiting for the doctor to see if they're going to do the surgery today.
Oh, so they have to cut into you to unclog they that blood clot?
They got to cut into the arm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that happens when you get that dialysis a lot. It gets clogged up. Yeah.
And so they stabilized the body and shot sugar in me and all that other stuff. So I'm waiting to hear from the doctor by that. There's a possibility. More than likely, I'm going to probably have to spend the night here.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
It don't matter with me as long as they take care of
me. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, it don't matter with me, John. I'm just laying up. The only thing is, it's just the time. I realize I'm not the only patient here. So they got other people here, and they got people here in bad shape too. So I can be patient. The only thing I just want them to tell me one way or the other, so I can call Nate and tell him, don't worry about picking me up. Go on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to keep you informed as to what's going on.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man. And
I told you, in case, at least somebody I know, in case they say I didn't make it.
Yeah, well, give them my number so I'll be able to call your brother.
Your number. I gave them, you're the contact person.
Good.
I gave them that already and told them, also, which I said, he's a level-headed man.
Yes.
So if anything come up of an emergency that needs someone to give a yay or nay to, I said, he has I have the belief in him that he'll make the right decision. or whatever decision you make, I'll live with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm your friend. I'll always be that. And that's what friends are for at this very difficult time. So you hang tight, man. Hang tight.
Oh, yeah. I called Jesse, no.
Right.
They know I'm here.
Yeah.
Of course I didn't call me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I just wanted someone to know where I am and what's going on.
Right.
So that's what's happening.
All right, well, you just try to rest up, man, and, you know, relax and do what they tell you to do. That's all we can do, man.
That's what I'm doing. I'm kicking back, John.
Good.
I'm just kicking back.
Yeah. That's good, man.
So if anything else come up or whatever, I'll give you a call and let you know.
Okay, I'll be here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I got my phone with me in case you want to call.
Good. So I can call you at any time, and that's excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, John.
You take care.
You too, man. Take care now. Bye bye. Now that's interesting. Since we're talking about my body, sometime I worry about that's Johnny. Some of you that know me and know Johnny pretty well. He was a brother of mine in that church when the church thing blew up and went down the toilet. He was one of the instrumental guys there, and we are still in communication with each other. We correspond with each other. And didn't you pick up that he's a buddy friend of mine, and I'm a buddy friend of his? Whatever water went under the bridge, whatever transpired in the past is gone. We're both senior citizens. He's in the hospital in an emergency. He's on this dialysis, and his arm got clogged up, so they have to go in there and unclog it to help that artery or that vein. And he keeps me informed and gives the hospital all that stuff for me to look at. But back to what I was saying, man. It's interesting. Los Angeles Unified School Districts to remain closed until it's safe to reopen, the superintendent says, and that's a good thing. Trump retreated. Okay, fire Fossey. Tweet fueling speculation of a frayed relationship. Well, of course, anybody that knows the president, you're going to have a frayed relationship with him because he's basically out of his mind. Let's see what else they got coming up on this thing here. Just reading some of the headlines. The doors of St. Vincent Hospital, Los Angeles, is to reopen. Oh, I know about that. I knew a young man that was, they were trying to give him a security job there at St. Francis. He turned it down. Because he doesn't want to be around that. Very interesting article. St. Francis was closed for a long time. I'm sorry, St. Vincent Hospital in the Westlake District of Los Angeles would temporarily reopen its doors, and the hospital closed it filing bankruptcy a number of months ago, but they're opening it now for the coronavirus thing. I wouldn't go there. It's just, oh no. Four people were injured in a three-vehicle crash in South Central, so people are still driving crazy. Let's see. And just reading up on the news headlines in my neighborhood. Diddy hosted a star-studded IG Dance-a-thon, reunites with J-Lo and Drake, whatever that's about. Just looking at the local headlines. But what about my buddies? What about the guys I used to hang out with? I'm thinking about one guy. I haven't heard from him going on a year now. I won't mention his name. I try to speak with the people in his family. They won't say anything. What happened to this guy? He just disappeared off of the face of the earth, disappeared. Well, whatever happened to him, I'm not going to worry about that. People disappear from time to time. And I got another little, it's connecting to the neighborhood things where it tells me where I can walk, where I shouldn't walk. Advice, if you find a stray or loose dog, gives you advice on what to do about them. Barking dogs should be in the house at night. You know, this is one of these neighborhood things. But, yeah, I'm just reading up on that, staying abreast to it. I'm doing okay on a Monday, staying in. I don't need to go out for anything, really. But what do you do when you can't find your buddy? One of my buddies just called me. One of the things that you can stay in social contact with people like that is to call them up. You know, call up an old friend. What happened to John? I haven't heard from him lately. Did he just disappear off the face of the earth? Is he okay? Is he eating regular meals? Is he taking care of himself? Does he have fresh orange juice? I think I got one more bottle here left. I can go to the supermarket near me. They let older people in the morning. And I got a few more dollars in my little checking account. And so I'm not down to drained out and dry. I'm not down to that yet. How are you folk doing out there? Hope you guys are doing okay. I like playing my folk music. I really do. And I'm going to try to play another one by Joe and Eddie. Let's see what comes up. Listen to this. All right.
Down by the riverside.
Okay.
Down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down on my sword and shield.
Where at?
Down by the riverside. Study more, no more. I ain't gonna study more, no more. I ain't gonna study more, no more. I ain't gonna study.
Joe and Eddie, singing one of those old classics. No, I'm not going to study war anymore. That's what they said. What can I find that can soothe my troubled mind? Reading from a great little book called African American Wisdom. This is a nice little book that I have in my library, and I want to share. Reginald McKnight edited this. It's from the Classic Wisdom Old World Library. Who made this statement? Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. 1968, James Brown. That was his statement. And Langston Hughes said in 1953, Negro blood is sure powerful because just one drop of black blood makes a colored man. One drop. You are a Negro. Black is powerful. Langston Hughes, you are absolutely correct. I love it. Nikki Giovanni in 1993. Now, this is what Nikki said. I am a black American, period. The rest of it is no consequence to me. Afro-American, African-American, whatever. I believe that if I remain a black American, I will force all others to become and claim their own Americanism. They are white Americans, Irish Americans, Jewish Americans, or whatever hyphens that they like to use. The noun is black. American is an adjective. Oh, I like that. I like that, Nikki. I like that. In 1940, Mary Church Terrell penned these words. It says, please stop using the word Negro. We are the only human being in the world with 57 varieties of complexions who are classed together as a single racial unit. Therefore, we are really, truly colored people. And that is the only name in the English language which actually describes us. That's good, that's good. And you know, it's good that we can make these kinds of statements and read about these kinds of things and languish on being black, because I don't think that that's enough done in this culture. Sometimes we become ashamed of who we are and why we are. And that's why I like playing some Joe and Eddie at this time, because Joe and Eddie, black dynamic duo that hyphenates us, doesn't agitate us, but it hyphenates us. I saw a disturbing click. You know, yesterday was Easter Sunday, and there was a project, I believe, in Georgia where the people came together and was partying and barbecuing out there. And the police had to come out there and threaten to write the people $1,000 ticket to get them to go in their homes. And they're just out there with their children and out there like just ignoring the laws while this coronavirus is out there. I mean, it was unbelievable. I could not believe it. Some folk need to really, well, I guess that won't happen until some people come down with the virus and start dying, and then maybe they would take it seriously. Take this time as a serious time for us to come together in our minds and in our hearts and to give some kind of intelligent, substantive behavior to one's life. I mean, for real, man, it's time for us to really get serious about obeying the law and paying attention to the authorities. Our young people are completely, and I think on every level, not just the black level, but every level, is completely out of touch with reality, and we need to come back in touch with that. Booker T. Washington made this statement in 1895, and all things that are purely social, we, black and white, can be as separate as the fingers, yet one has the hand in all things essential to mutual progress. That's right, we all have to work together. An anonymous 19th century person wrote these words, "'Tain't much difference betwixt a hornet and a yellow jacket when they both under your clothes.'" That's right, because they're going to sting you, and you're going to feel the aftermath of that. Here's another one. I think I like this one, and this one was written by Martin Luther King Jr. Listen to what he said. He said, "The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, beginning the very thing that it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. Returning violence for violence only multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to the night, already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." And I like what Martin says. See, it's time for us to think about what light can do in our lives. And we need to multiply on that kind of positivity. Frederick Douglass in 1863. 100 years later, I was 19 years old. Look what Frederick said before I was born. He says, "The relationship between white and colored people of this country is the great paramount imperative and all-commanding question for this age and the nation to solve." And we still haven't solved it. We are still grappling in the dirt, you know, not being able to lift our heads above the craziness that we have created. Ah. Joe and Eddie.
My family among and he would keep on driving, you know it burns time. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow,
Joe and Eddie, the dynamic duo is what I used to call them back in the early 60s when they first started making records, playing on the Crescendo record label from Hollywood, California, playing in the Crescendo nightclubs. Joe Gilbert and Eddie Brown. Eddie Brown, I think, is still alive. He may still be alive. Joe Gilbert died in a tragic automobile accident while he was in the highlight of his career. Whitney Moore Young Jr. in 1969 wrote these words, "Black is beautiful when it is a slum kid studying to enter college, when it is a man learning new skills for a new job, or a slum mother battling to give her kids a chance for a better life. But white is beautiful too, when it helped change society to make our system work for black people also. White is ugly when it oppresses blacks, and so is black ugly when black people exploit other blacks. No race has a monopoly on vice or virtue, and the worth of an individual is not related to the color of his skin." Ah, I like that, written way back in 1969. How about courage? Does courage have a way? Randall Keenan in 1989 said this. Ooh, I love these wonderful statements. He says, "Now they can call your names, and they will, but you just ignore it. You know you're somebody. Most of them don't have a pot to piss in. But if one hits you..." Well, I don't know whether I'm going to continue to read this, but I think I will. "I want you to haul off and smack the shit out of him. Do you hear me? We can't have any of that. If they ever get the notion that you're a punching bag..." You know, this I should have understood when I was a young man. "You'll be one of the rest. You'll be that for the rest of your life. You've got to learn how to stand up for yourself and defend yourself." I like that. I like that. Martin Luther King put it this way: "If a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live." Martin. Oh, that is so wonderful. And Paul Laurence Dunbar, the famous poet laureate, wrote these words on philosophy. He says, "It's easy enough to titter when the stew is in the smoking pot, but hits mighty hard and giggle when there's a muffin, nothing in the pot." Oh, that's right. Did I read it right? Have to read Paul Laurence Dunbar in his classical ways. I like that. I like this little book. I haven't read all these poems. I try to go through it. "Acquainted with the Daybreak. Hard work. What does hard work give you?" Booker T. Washington was a good one for hard work. "No race can prosper until it learns that there is as much dignity in tilling a field as in writing a poem." That's right. "The good farmer keeps acquainted with the daybreak." I like that one too. I'm just talking about my buddies. You know, the things that keeps me on a high level of listening. I've been doing this stuff for 10 minutes, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to play a number that I haven't played in a long time. And it's from an album that a young man came by and he left it in my library, and I've had it ever since. And it's number 12 on this particular CD. And I'm going to play it, and I hope that you will understand the significance of me playing it. Cut number 12. And we need this prayer. Well, this isn't cut number 12. I think I'll let it play as I talk a little bit in the background. So many people around the country has died in the past few weeks. This sorrow has engulfed our land. We can pray for those families that have lost loved ones. But if we do not make a buddy of everybody we come in contact with, we of all people are most miserable. Reach out and touch somebody. Try to help somebody. Everybody's embedded in their homes. A lot of their jobs are gone. They don't know what they're going to do. They have no way of knowing what it is to call out for God's help. They're languishing all around the world. The deaths from this virus are horrific. Your president seems to be losing his mind. The medical workers are stretched to the limit. And what do we have confronting us but uncertainty? I cut some roses today. Put them up in my house. And I think those roses are indicative of what we have to do. We need to be watered. We need to be taken care of. And it can happen if we decide to live for God, to love the way God loves, and to help our fellow man out. Put selfishness aside and allow His Spirit to well up in our hearts and to overtake us. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for being people of faith. In time, God's going to solve this dilemma, and we'll be able to think back on it. But if we survive, we have to do some obeying. If you're a millennial, if you're young, listen to your parent that God has given you. Let that parent help you through this difficult time, that person that has lived long enough to know what they're confronted with. personally, I'd just like to thank you for coming to my website, for making my day brighter. I'm going to read some more stuff, get something done. You know me. But before I leave, I'd like to do this for you. I'd like to play a particular number for you. And as I play it, I would ask you to respond in light towards this. Sing it with these men. Let the words relish in your heart. We need to do this today. We need to come back to this. We need to call on God. He is our Father.